come with us now, if you dare, down a rickety staircase into a dank, dark basement. What awaits? The Saturday Night Freak Show.
Welcome back, ladies and germs, to the Saturday Night Freak Show podcast. Every Saturday night, the podcast happens whether you're ready or not. We're coming to take over your world by playing a movie that's chosen by one of the Freak Show luminaries every week. And then we sit down, we watch it, and then we debate it right here in the Thunderdome to find out if it's any good. Should you watch this movie? Well, we're going to find out. I'm Colin. I'm surrounded by the internet radio superstars.
This is Tom. I'm returning. Tom.
OG Tom.
OG Tom King.
Welcome back, Tom.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. Good to be back. And Nick, once again, filling in.
And tonight's movie was Travis's pick, but Travis has stepped out for a moment. We expect him back any minute. The movie was Robot Jocks. This is a movie that was originally known as RoboJocks until Orion Pictures, who made RoboCop, sued, and they changed the title to Robot Jocks. It was directed by Stuart Gordon, who you may remember from such freak show movies as Reanimator. And he also did From Beyond and Space Truckers. Space Truckers, I keep shooting out there because somebody somewhere is going to watch that movie. It's got Dennis Hopper in it. Space Truckers.
That sounds like my alley. Like Space Truckers, I kind of like that.
And it's from the year 1990, but it was actually shot in the year 1987. And when Empire Pictures, which was owned by producer Charles Band, filed for bankruptcy, delayed the release until 1990. And I do remember it coming out in theaters because I remember seeing a commercial for this movie on TV way back when I was a wee lad.
Yeah, and they missed the 80s Transformers time where it was big. So they're...
Yeah, it kind of missed the boat when it came out because there's a... I mean, you know, there's a... They missed the Transformer high, but this was... As a kid, I mean, I never saw it. This is my first time seeing this movie, so I missed it. But this is my first time seeing it. We'll know how I feel about it later, but yeah.
Right. Well, this is kind of like we were talking about earlier. It's like, okay, so this movie's from the 90s. I mean, it's like a prototype for Pacific Rim.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Yes. Yep. It's very much like Pacific Rim. It is. You know, the thing that sets this.
Well, except it doesn't have monsters. It's just the robots.
Yeah, what I noticed about this movie is, and I appreciate that. Like I appreciate the very slow moving robots. I really do, because like, you know, as a kid growing up, I played a lot of MechWarrior. You're with me on the MechWarrior, right?
So that's what I was trying to think. When did that come out?
MechWarrior came out in the 90s. Yeah.
Oh, okay, so it was after this.
Slightly after this, but like
BattleTech.
The MechWarrior. Like the video games did, but MechWarrior as like a role playing pen and paper and tabletop, that's been around since probably early 80s, 70s, stuff like that. Okay. So, but, you know, like I'm used to, you know, like the Japanese anime robots or
Voltron?
Voltron. They're more
like Macross Saga? Was
the Macross Saga, those are.
Pilotable giant mech?
Yeah, it turned into. Had the three forms. They had the robot form, the half robot, half the fighter jet, and then the fighter jet. But those robots tend to be faster. Where, like, I personally like my mechs, like MechWarrior mechs. I like the big, lumbering, slow-moving behemoths.
Because you get the idea that they weigh like hundred tons or whatever.
And
right?
Those the big slow moving behemoths is definitely like that's an American thing.
Is it?
Yeah.
Were you trying to say us Americans are slow moving?
No, I mean it's
we're realistic.
It's
damn
the philosophy of like you're taking a tank, like an actual physical tank that is because a tank is slow moving and lumbering, you know, and you're just making that just a watt. You know, I'm like a walking tank, so it's slow, it's lumbering, it packs a lot of firepower, and it's a force to be reckoned with. Where, like, the Japanese, especially in their, like, animes, are, like, fast-moving robots and stuff like that. So, like, especially, like, Neon Genesis, where those robots were a lot faster.
Like, know? The Power Rangers?
Power Rangers. So it's like, I
what
like
What is
my...
it with the Japanese and giant robots?
So they like their
I guess that's just ingrained in their culture.
Right.
Sorry,
they
what
like
were
their
you
giant
saying?
Robots, but they like your giant robots, but they're a lot faster, and I like my robots to be fucking tanks.
Mm-hmm.
And...
What was that simulator game that you...
it was Battletech.
No. Steel Battalion?
Steel Battalion.
That was the one where you could actually virtually get inside the
cockpit. Had like a $200 controller and like it had a, like a startup sequence and you had foot pedals and stuff like that. Really cool for the Xbox.
Yeah, and that was based on, I want to say there was like a Battletech, like you could go to arcades and get into these Battletech like pods or whatever. It was like... You know, those old arcades games that you could sit in and, you know, the thing surrounded you, like the old Star Wars game or Mach 3 or something like that, right? But this thing had, like, what did it have? Like, you were surrounded by, like, three screens and something like that, surround sound. You had to flip all the toggles and...
Yep. So, like, I like those things. So, like, I really like the Mech Warrior and the walking tank. So... The fact that this movie was about the giant walking, slow-moving tanks.
But does it translate good to, on a movie, you know, like as for an action movie? To me, I felt it just slowed it down. I was like, okay.
Like Pacific Rim uses the slow-moving.
Yeah, but not as slow-moving as what this is.
Well,
you know, the other thing I thought of when I was watching this, because you're basically watching, you know, looking at these models, you know, these certain scale models, you know, like duking this stuff out. And their speed, I was the other day I watched Empire Strikes Back and prepping for, you know, episode 7 coming out. So I watched Empire Strikes Back and they got, you know, the Imperial Walkers show up, the AT-ATs. And from a distance, they're like, but then there's that scene where Luke is like underneath the thing, and you know the foot goes up and it's you know, and that's kind of what you have going on here. It's like it's at the speed of the human on the ground, you know, seeing this thing actually move at this kind of, you know, all the servos are going to move this arm up, you know. And, man, there's something fucking awesome about giant robots.
Yeah.
Like, that it's ingrained somehow in, like, every man from childhood, right?
What kind of bums me out?
The idea of driving tanks
movie.
And they're giant robots is, like, that's fucking great. That's why Pacific Rim's like, hey, we're going to fight Godzilla. Right. You know, it's like...
giant robots versus Godzilla. I'm on board. This movie is interesting in the flat, like the opening sequence of the movie starts off with, like, you know, a shot of like Siberia and like a snow covered thing, and they're just basically get on like in the year like 20 whatever, you know, they deem that war should be, they're not going to fight any wars, instead wars will be fought with two giant robots fighting each other.
Yeah, so each territory, because I don't think they're countries here. Although the
like
market,
there's two
market, which seems to have absorbed the old United States, right? Because I think they still have like an old U.S. flag as, you know, memorabilia, and then they've got like some new version of the U.S. flag. So that's the market, which I guess that's kind of interesting.
Free
it's the free market or the capitalist, you know, society. And then the enemy is the Confederation. And that's the, like, Russian Federation, I guess, right?
Yeah,
I
mean, it's essentially Russians, because, like, the bad guy
he's a Russian guy. And coming out of 1987, when the movie was originally made, I suppose, you know, you're talking Cold War, you know, tensions that you're exploiting. I mean, Rocky IV had only been, like, 2 years before that.
So they like, fight, and, like, if you lose, you lose, like, a territory.
Yeah. Which I thought was kind of odd, like, the setup for this is, I mean, the whole movie basically hinges on, we don't know how many of these battles have been fought in the past. We know that our lead character, Achilles.
No, we don't,
Well, Achilles has fought, he's fighting this is going to be his 10th fight that he's going to go into. So we know he's fought at least 10 battles before this. And we know that, what was his name, Tex?
Tex.
Tex, the...
He fought one battle.
No. He won 10 in a row. They said.
By cheating.
They said he was the only person to ever win 10.
Okay. Yeah. He was the greatest soldier of his time. So this has been going on for years, right?
But like, they had, like, he was, like, kind of, like... Because our hero, Achilles, was the last... Because he's all his comrades have died. Because the opening scene shows the second to the last person dying by the Russian.
Yeah.
And then...
Alexander, the Russian.
And then there's Achilles, and then all the other people are getting trained, and they're clones. They're test tubes. They're tubies.
Tubies.
Right. Well, it's working in, like, inches, like, yeah, like a social-political thing in there. But before we get to that, I just want to clear up what I don't understand about the setup was that the movie is taking place with basically the battle for Alaska, where the market is versus Confed for possession of the territory Alaska, right? And they fight in Death Valley. That's where the arena is where the robot battles take place. So it's like... And at some point, you know, in the first contest, is, you know, this is going to be a spoiler cast, but the first contest between the two robots ends in a draw. And so, like, the possession of Alaska is in question. And I'm like, well, doesn't it still belong to Confed? Isn't this, like, a challenge by the Confederation to, you know, annex, or sorry, market? Doesn't the market own it? This is like, we want to annex market land, right?
Right.
All right. But yeah, you're right. So beyond that, yeah. So Achilles is the last of the like natural born humans, and all these kids coming up. You know, he's introduced to a team of test tube grown to be soldiers. You know, these people have grown to be the perfect warrior. Which, you know, looking at it now, it's like, you know, it's like, man, that's Ender's Game, right? Or, you know, something that we've seen in other science fiction stories, if you can think of another one. Feel free to shoot it out there. I'm thinking of Ender's Game, but Ender's Game was a novel that existed, like, you know,
George C. Scott,
70s?
Yeah.
Orson Scott Card? Well, this movie was written by a guy named Joe Halderman. Does that name mean anything to you? You ever heard of a novel called The Forever War? Okay, well, it's a science fiction, quote-unquote, masterpiece. I shouldn't use it in quotes. It is considered a masterpiece. Halderman was a soldier in Vietnam and used his experience in actual war to make this science fiction allegory called The Forever War. And I guess Stuart Gordon contacted him, you know, after having seen the rising popularity of Transformers toys and said, you know, this is like something that should be in a movie, you know, giant machines that transform. And so he hired Halderman to write the script for this. And I guess that those two guys were like at odds over what the tone of the movie should be for most of, I don't even know if even to this day, but Gordon later described it as Halderman wanted to make a movie for adults that kids could enjoy, mm-hmm. where Gordon was trying to make a movie for kids that adults could enjoy.
Yeah.
Now, when you see the movie as it exists now, knowing that, like, I mean, with him having said that, do you believe that statement? This is a movie for kids that adults will enjoy.
I don't know. You know, besides the robot faction, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like, so, like, you're like, when you look at it, like, the market robot is, like, it's white and red.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the Russian robot is pretty cool looking, actually.
Well, it's the bigger... It looks like it's the bigger, newer model, the stronger one.
Man, badass. I like that robot.
Looked like it had tentacle legs.
Yeah.
That's when he upgraded it. His first version was just like two legs. And the final fight version of that robot had like four legs. And
yeah. Yeah, after it transforms. Oh, spoilers. We're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's try laying out the characters in our opus. And we'll give their character arcs. Okay,
Jesus Christ.
Every character, their goal in the movie is And through that, we will discover the plot. So we have Achilles. So what's his character arc in this movie? Did we say he's played by Gary Graham, who was
Nobody?
What are you talking about?
Nobody.
Well, clearly you never saw the TV show Alien Nation. Wait, are you aware that there was a movie called Alien Nation?
I think I was.
Good holy Jesus.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Science fiction classic starring James Caan from The Godfather and Misery. Well, Gary Graham has the James Caan role in the television show. The television show spun off after it was canceled or whatever, ran its course. Had like four made-for-TV movies. I want to say like four. Hmm. I could be way off on that. Could be two. But still, had a following. Hmm. And then he was also on a couple of episodes of Star Trek.
I thought he looked a lot like Billy Bob Thornton.
He's a terrible actor. Harry
what like, the fuck are you talking about?
There's not a good actor.
What
in
are you
movie.
Talking
there's
about?
Not. Seriously. That,
Gary like, Graham that pulls it off. There is a time when he says, what? And it's totally what? Believable.
The problem with this movie is clearly the acting. The acting in this movie is atrocious.
Shut the hell up.
The characters are
Tom
all
is
like,
just plain flat out wrong.
I'm going to get in this robot and I'm going to kick your ass.
I believed that he was going to do it.
Now,
I would say that the girl, Anne Johnson,
she was horrible.
She's
horrible.
Okay.
But she's dragging him down. I think because Gary Graham was good. Yeah. The guy who played.
Tex was great. Now, Tex was
he
great.
Was a caricature.
Tex was great from the fact that he was like.
He was in that character.
He was committed to that character. He's like, all right, you know what? You're going to be called Tex, and you're going to be an American. You're going to be cold-blooded American. He walked around with a cowboy hat. He kind of had like that. Yeah. He was just like, and he was like, well, you know what?
You think he's
that
woman?
She's not going to. You know why? Because she's a woman. She ain't going to do good because she's a woman. And he
was right.
And he's like, you know what? That Jap was up to no good. It was straight up. Like they had a Texas, a guy from American whose name was Tex, who had a 10-gallon hat.
Mm-hmm.
They had a
veteran of a former war. So he represents an earlier generation.
They had a Japanese guy who made origami cranes and origami all the time.
Which we discovered is the actor was the guy who went against Mr. Miyagi in The Karate Kid Part 2.
And then you have a woman who tries to be like, she's a clone. She tries to do like
clone, damn it.
She tries to do like
test tube baby.
She tries to do like women's lib of like, yeah, well, I'm a woman, I can fight, and like
fails
spoilers.
It.
But when she fights, she fails
miserably.
Well,
absolutely, she doesn't even try.
Right? Well, this is, I think, is a fault of the screenwriters more than anything else. It's like when she finally has the moment to test herself behind the, you know, as the pilot of the mech. She gets in there and it's like, oh my God, you know, it's like because she gets in there by basically stealing the thing. This is in the third act. Yeah. So we way skipped ahead here. But so the only thing that they can do is like, we can't get her out of there. She's in this machine. She'd kill us all. So we may as well help her fight the Russian. And so at that point, every single move that she makes is dictated by Achilles, who's back in mission control, saying, use this, you know, weapon. Try this maneuver. Try this, you know. And so the screenwriters have left her without any kind of initiative of her own, right? And then she fails. So it's like, well, she didn't do anything on her own. I'm like, that's just, you know, they were setting her character. I think that's something that you say. The screenwriters were probably misogynistic at that time, even though they were trying to give it, you know, the sheen of like, you know, here's the new generation of soldiers, the best one is a female. But then when she actually gets her chance, it's like, well, the female can't actually do anything unless the guy is helping her,
telling her what to do.
But you can either take that as the wisdom of the previous generation or the fact that he's male and she's female. But yeah, that was kind of like, that's a bit sexist there. All right, so getting back to my original thing, so we got this. All right, so Achilles is his arc, if I am to understand this, is to lose. Like, he's the champion. He's going to go out there and kick everybody. He's the best that we've got. And then he loses in his initial fight against the Russian Confederation.
Mm-hmm.
And he's humiliated. Well, he doesn't lose. It's a draw. Yeah? And the point of this is to, like, crush his spirit because he kills, like, 300 spectators in this. Why are there spectators at this battle in the middle of...
I don't understand that either.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like...
They have bleachers.
Yeah.
But see, what's weird is the first match, which is the opening match, you see it's fought in, like, this, like, graveyard of broken robot parts.
Which looked a lot cooler than what we got for the rest of the movie.
So you had snow, and you had it was like snow and broken down trees and broken down robot parts.
It had like a terrain to it.
Oh, that was Siberia. Like Did they say it was Siberia?
Yeah, I think it was Siberia. So they were like fighting in Siberia, just like in this really cool terrain. And like he ends up killing the Russian ends up killing the guy. But like that was like, I mean, there weren't any spectators there because like there was like fog and everything. And
so you're expecting that kind of like every time that they fight. You know. If you're going to fight for Alaska. You're going to fight in Alaska.
In Alaska, not in the desert.
Not in Death Valley.
Very weird. And especially in like a small enclosed in space and stuff like that. And the structure of the fights is weird too because it's like they start off from a distance and they can use their like ranged weapons for like a while. And then at a certain point, the judges come out and say like they shut off the ranged weapons and then they got to duke it out.
Yeah, there's referees to your inter-global politics here. You know, it's like, whoa. Are they like the United Nations or something? They're the guys who come out. We've got, you know, I mean, they're in the black and white checkered, you know, shirts. They're the refs for the match.
And it seemed like a turn-based, like, RPG type thing, you know, where they take turns, you know, I'll shoot my rockets, then I'll shoot, you shoot yours.
But what'd you get out of this first fight? I mean, aside from Rocket Punch. We had Rocket Punch.
Illegal Rocket Punch.
Illegal Rocket Punch. They did that in fucking Pacific Rim, didn't they? Well, the fist actually detaches from the wrist and rockets across the battlefield to pummel, you know, the opponent. In Pacific Rim, I want to say there was like a rocket boosters or something on the arm for Rocket Punch.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm seeing connections here.
I'd rather my arm detach. That's a cool rocket punch, actually.
And he put himself in front of the fans so that that rocket punch didn't hit them full on, right? Is that what they tried saying?
That's what they're saying. But the thing hitting him knocked his robot into the fans and killed like 300 people. Tom's like, no, not the kids. Oh my God, the kid. Because we see the kid with the fucking teddy bear.
The humanity of that robot smashing that was. Like, see, I thought the way the story was going to go is like once. Like, I thought it was going to be one of those stories of like the robot smashed. Our hero sees all these kids getting killed and died by his hands of his robot. So, like, he encounters one of those situations where he's, like, afraid to get in the robot ever again.
Well, that basically did happen. He quit right after. He's like, no, that's it. I'm done. And they're like, no, you can't. The match was a draw. You have to fight him again in 1 week. And he's like, nope, I'm done. That was him basically, like, gun shy. Yeah, but
normally movies like that, like, have them, like, they get back out in the field and they, like, lose the fight because... Freak out, you know.
As in Pacific Rim.
Right.
And that happened with Mako. Yeah. Oh. But in this movie, so that this is, becomes his arc then. It's like because he's been defeated, you know, at least his spirit, you know, then he has to, we have to find a way to get him back on the horse so he will eventually defeat this Russian and win the, you know, become a hero. By the end of the movie.
Well, the only reason, and see, the only reason he's going to do it is, so he retires, But then the woman says, oh, well, I'm
Athena, gonna, Tom, Athena. For God's sakes. Okay. She has a name. She's not just the woman.
Yeah, I probably would have known her as the woman.
So Athena is going to fight. They're going to have Athena fight in his place. So then that's when he says,
wait,
I'm going
to
fight.
Did you determine, you have to tell the listeners how Athena becomes the test tubie. Tubie? Tubie? Tuber?
Yeah.
That becomes the champion tuber to
be the pilot. She won like the Hunger Games of climbing a monkey bar.
Oh, there's just weren't any monkey bars, damn it.
You know, there was dump like bars, fire bars,
and fire and
detachable and bars. Of,
what do you call it? The flickering light, the strobe lights. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Yeah, the seizure inducing strobe light that they had there for a while.
That was a decent sequence. Low budget, true, but still something. That wasn't robot fighting where you're kind of like,
man, that whole middle of that, I mean, like the whole movie is like there's a cool robot fight, then we got a pause. Exactly. It's not too big of a pause, then there's another robot fight, and then there's like an hour of like no robot fight.
Yeah,
but there's all like this character drama.
Then there's character development with
Athena and Achilles going to like become an item? Because they seem to be on again.
Because she was checking out his utensils
in one of the weirdest scenes like ever. Because the only reason I say it's weird is because clearly he did that scene without clothes on.
Yeah, right.
I'm like, I don't think you had to do that scene without clothes on, but you chose to do it. Exactly. It just makes it kind of weird.
Right. Yeah. I admit,
this is a PG. It's a kid. It's a movie for kids that adults can enjoy.
Yeah, you see dudes' booties and
you see
and
good,
to be fair,
you see her boot.
Yeah, you see her.
You see her butt.
Shapely.
It is
a tush. Tookish.
Yeah, only good the thing that she's got going for her.
Yeah, she's not a very attractive.
She's not a looker. That's for sure.
She used to be. She was better looking with hair. She was on a TV show called In the Heat of the Night, based on the Academy Award-winning film, and I remember her from that. Although I can't remember her name right now.
I think I've seen her in something else, but I can't remember.
Yeah. But Athena, her character arc then is that because she was bred to be a warrior, she can't, and she hasn't been tested yet, although she's a good fighter in the sparring room, which, you know, it's kind of like what they have in the Pacific Rim sparring room, except much smaller.
Yeah.
You know, more affordable. Mm-hmm. It's like a wrestling sparring room or something. Like
and they're all in spandex.
Well, you gotta have the unitard. It's the future, for God's sakes. We all are gonna be wearing the unitards. Because I mean, just think of the amount of like you don't have to think about what you're gonna put on that day.
Yeah,
you just go to the closet, get the new unitard.
Yep.
They're not wearing underwear underneath those unitards. They're just wearing.
I think that's that guy again.
I think it's that guy. Like, I always thought like, man, is that wait? Because like
he's smuggling grapes.
I'm like, what the hell is he just not putting on any underwear? Because like, because like she pulls out that's like the sleeping pistol, and like
she's wearing a bra.
Yeah, she's wearing something underneath. So
he's just going commando.
I think it's
just, Gary Graham.
I think it's
more than it is.
Yeah, he's like, screw that. I'm going full balls to this movie.
Yep, that's commitment. So she can't understand what she's got to try and study the human, whatever the natural birther. To find out what it is that makes him special, that he can win.
Says, it's luck.
Well, he got that from Tex.
Because she couldn't figure out anything special about him.
Well, see, so the key is, it's the one line which defines like the whole movie, it's because he's like, it takes courage, and she's like, I have courage. Well, he's like, it's not courage, it's actually fear, you know? It's like, I have fear when I go out there. And she's like, I'm not afraid. So it's like, well, you got to be afraid in order to get out there. So when, like, she goes out there, and when she's in the thing, the reason she doesn't act, they don't actually do a good job of showing this, but she is overcome by fear. That's why she doesn't act, and that's why she loses. I figured this out actually when I was watching it, because I caught that line of him going like, I caught the line of him he saying it's actually like not courage but it's fear when she's out there and not acting. Even while I was sitting back here going like, ah, she's not doing anything. It's like I'm like, ah, she's overcome by fear. He's guiding her through it. It's fear.
Well, that suddenly the movie gets better, in my opinion, than if that's actually... Well, I'm not sure, because I don't know if that was communicated. It must have been. You picked up on it. Did you get that, Nick?
I didn't get it. I didn't get it.
It just seemed like she was... Because I read it like she was headstrong, arrogant, wanting to just get into this. I thought she was a criminal, because, like, you know, there's this older woman who's... who's put together the whole gene
the mother program, the mother type.
And she's like, no, by stealing this thing, you're undermining all of my life's work. Which is true. Because she went in like, and created this program of these super warriors. And then at the first chance to prove themselves, this one goes rogue, steals a machine with which it can destroy, like, you know.
Well, the reason her whole thing is proven wrong is because of the line of these are soldiers bred to for obedience. They're bred to follow orders. And she's immediately disobeying an order by stealing this. So that means that the whole tube philosophy of these super soldiers who are going to follow your every order is proved false by this one person who's going rogue.
Right.
Well, you can also see when they were doing their sparring session, the one guy... You know, once it was over, he attacked the guy from behind, that's along the same lines of what, you know.
Fucking cheaters. Yeah. That's what they are, a bunch of test tube cheaters.
Test tube cheaters.
Must have Texas blood in them.
Well, okay, so Tex, what do we got here? Tex is a guy who, you know, being this former soldier and racist. Well, of course, because he's like the defender of the old guard, right? There's no country for old men. His time has moved on. I mean, he's tried to pass it, what he's learned on to Achilles.
But he's so like the mentor of the whole... He's the leader of the whole program.
No, the commissioner is. Man. Commissioner played by the guy who was Dr. Hill. Dr. Hill? No. Dean Halsey in Reanimator.
Oh, wearing that stupid...
goes crazy.
Reanimator. The purple shirt with the little weird jewel.
Yeah. Okay. So, Tex is, the reason that Achilles loses in this first fight is because there's the idea that someone is either a saboteur or, a spy. Someone's
Tex brings that line up. Tex is the first one to be like, well, there must be a saboteur in our mix here. And, like, second time around in the second fight, because the first fight in the opening sequence, well, there must be a saboteur in the second fight. Well, it looks like we got a saboteur in our midst.
It can't be saboteur, right? We're saying that. I know what you mean, but it's like, they're giving classified secrets to the enemy, whoever it is. They're not actually sabotaging the thing.
Oh, no, it looks like we got a spy in our mix. Yeah, he kept using the word spy in our mix. And he's the only one that says it.
Well, yeah, but there are three suspects,
and
probably.
The Jap. Hey, this is Tex.
Sometimes when it's character and sometimes when it's Tom. No, there's the Japanese scientist.
Right.
Not that the movie's playing any stereotypes here, but he's the guy who creates...
Invents the tech, right? Yeah. The new weapons and the secret moves and stuff like that.
And puts the awesome sun stickers on their little controllers.
It's origami, man. Or it's an origami.
Was it an origami?
It was an origami sun.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was a sticker.
Yeah, because it bothered me out that the American thing had like origami like all over it.
Well, fuck, at one point, that's what I was thinking when Achilles gets injured on his head. He's got the bandage. It's got a perfect red blood dot. The bandage becomes like the Japanese flag, right?
No.
Isn't that the land of the rising sun? So Tex, there's Tex, there's Dr. The doctor.
The Japanese doctor.
And then there is the commissioner.
Yeah.
So clearly our spy must be one of those people.
Right.
And through process of elimination, I guess, because it was brought up. How did you beat that robot in your final battle? Luck. Again, he says luck, and I'm like, okay, it wasn't luck. There's something that's going to show up later in this movie. And sure enough, the doctor figures it out.
Colin called that out away.
It's actually kind of interesting. Like I was thinking about it because I'm like, wait. So I'm like, what have we dealt with? Like everything that's been set up in the first, 5 minutes of this movie, as eventually we're kind of like paying off these story threads. Except I'm like thinking to myself, except this thing that they threw out that it was luck, and he looks all guilty when he says it. And I'm like, well, that's a story point. We have to come back to it at some point. And when we come back to it, we're going to find out how exactly he was able to destroy this enemy tank. And I'm like, well, that means that he's the spy, right? And so the moment I had that idea, the very next scene, so I'm like, that must be just the rhythm of this movie. That was when it was like, okay, we've covered this. This is the one we have left. Like, we haven't dealt with that yet. Oh, here we go. Yeah. We're dealing with it right now. So the doctor confronts Tex about this knowledge that he's figured out. It's like, I've analyzed the footage and I figured out that you hit this specific place that you couldn't have known about. Because the Confederation, I keep saying that, it's like Confederation, right? But they say Confed.
Yeah, they say it weird.
The Confederation is wanting to plant a spy in the highest upper echelons of the management, whatever, top brass, the Admiralty. And so they apparently allowed Tex to defeat one of their robots so that he would be their agent. So he kills the doctor.
But he was like, well, I can't be me because I won Tungsten or something like that. Because he won land.
Oh, right. That's a trade-off for his soul.
Right.
Yeah.
For his soul.
Yeah.
But so when the Japanese guy, I always liked this when the Japanese guy confronted him. The Japanese guy goes, but the real Tex must have been in there somewhere. What about the little kid Tex? What about the little kid Tex? What about him? He's still there, ain't he? He's not a traitor. He's not corrupted. And Tex is like, oh, yeah, you're right. And then he takes the gun and he points it to his own head. And you think, oh, man, Tex is going to kill himself. And then Tex goes, nah. And he
just shoots. He's like, just playing. Bam. And there goes the Japanese guy.
But the favorite quote was when they're back in the, to like, the next scene, because then they're the next scene, they're in the control room with the dealing with the renegade mech getting away. And then Tex is like, that damn Jap was the spy. I knew it all along.
I think Tom just wants to say Jack.
I think so. There's an undercurrent here. It's like, really?
I will have to say that Tom's southern accent, though, is way better than Nick Cage's last week.
Oh, zing. Oh, zing. Man. Wait. Mailbag is still ahead. So hold off. All right. So we got him out of the way, and that sets up the, eventual.
Well, right? I think, unless we want to talk about the Russian.
Tell me about the Russian.
So, the Russian is, he's, well, because I guess we got to talk about the Russian because there's the
Alexander.
Alexander. So, Alexander is, he's got to be because you never really hear about any of the other Russian pilots.
I know.
You just hear about him.
Yeah.
And he is bloodthirsty. Yeah. Because every time he wins a match, the refs say, you won, it's over, stand down. And his next thing is, he takes his foot and smashes
it. I must break you.
And And so he's the one who, you know, he wants to kill our hero, Achilles. And then when he finds out that it's the girl and he defeats the girl, the refs come out and go, "You won, stand down." And he's just sitting there with his foot up. And then they're like, "Stand down, stand down. If you don't stand down, you will be disqualified." And then, "All right, you're disqualified," you know.
Yeah, they cede the territory, Alaska, to the market.
They cede the territory. And then he takes his foot and he smashes the refs.
Yeah.
And so he's like, "Ah, I don't care," you know. He doesn't kill her. Our hero, Achilles, comes in, saves them. And then I guess we should probably, because like his arc ends with the finale of the movie.
Right. So before we get there,
we got to talk about the final battle.
Well, we got to talk about the final battle, but I also want to point out that, like, what I also thought was interesting about, and eventually we're going to have to get the technology of this movie, just like, you know, in like its day-to-day stuff and the world, right?
And then we got to talk about first, the other aspects of, we got to talk about its relationship to Pacific Rim and Real Steel.
Okay.
Real Steel.
All right. So first of all, why don't we just cover the whole the final battle, then we'll double back. I just want to talk about the fucking the lounge at some point, and the fact that like all these guys, like the guys from the Confederation and the guys from the market, like hang out in the same bar. Right? Everybody just drinks at the same bar. It's like this is a war between what countries, nations, corporations, whatever the hell they are, and it's like, well, you know, we can still just kind of go into the officers' lounge and poke pot shots and try to get the other guy into a fist fight. Mm-hmm. This is where we go to drink when we're, you know, like afterwards. And, you know.
My beer is now curdled. Yes, and my vodka tastes like blood.
Yeah. It's just a weird fucking societal dealio.
It is.
Society itself has crumbled. This is supposedly after an apocalypse, I'm guessing, because the air quality is terrible. Jeffrey Combs from Reanimator also shows up as like a, you know, walk-on bit as one of the many spectators of the game. Could people put...
I didn't even see that.
He was one of the two guys who were betting on the...
Oh, okay.
On the games, but... Or the games. Again, see, it seems like a game, but it's the war, right?
Yeah.
And air quality is deteriorated, so everybody's wearing, like, the masks,
mm-hmm.
You know, breathing masks. This is years before SARS, but, you know, they can see the future with this movie. But what else? I think that's all we really know about society, right? We don't know what the economy is like, what people do for anything. We see after Achilles loses, you know, and quits, he goes to live with his brother, who's married and has a couple kids in a future house.
Okay, so the thing
he's got that, a future car, it's a hover car. That looks like somebody made it in the garage.
The thing that was weird to me that I noticed a couple times in the movie, I kept seeing those signs for the prenatal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it has a woman, and then she's holding a baby.
Yeah.
I really saw that, like, sign, like three or four times in that movie, and it was, like, prominent.
What are you associating with this?
I don't know.
Like, isn't that, you know, just promotion for that they were making these test tubers?
I'm guessing that has to be. It's just weird.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, yeah, because it's the future. They're saying something to the effect that, like, you know, we know that the Russians are going to be... Well, not the Russians. The confeds are going to be doing this kind of genetic.
So they're promoting is what they're promoting. Okay, all right.
They're new super soldiers that they're making.
Okay, that makes sense.
But it's just weird. So you're going to have a test tube baby? Yeah, because they ask the two lead soldiers for genetic material.
Why don't we get?
Why don't we make a deposit the old fashioned way?
That weirded me out because I saw that and I'm like, I don't know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think that's probably it though. Yeah, I think Nick's got it. I don't know what else it could mean.
Yeah. And the only thing, you know, when I was seeing a few scenes of, you know, the society, you know, outside the robot jocks themselves, it almost had a very Hunger Games look and feel to it. Like everybody, you know, is like, I don't know.
Well, they had that one scene where he's like, well, tonight we're going to celebrate and we're going to actually have real meat. And she opens a pot and it's like just one hot dog.
And beans, damn it. It was beanie weenies. Yeah, that's what you have. Real meat. Because it's, yeah. Well, it has a look not uncommon amongst science fiction films going back to like whenever they would do the future, right? I think about like the Planet of the Apes series as they get on. They, you know, they'd eventually they'd find like this semi-futuristic looking building or whatever was futuristic architecture from, you know, the point of view of 1975. And then they shoot, you know, all the scenes like right out in front of that building, which is what they did here. I want to say it was like we found this building, we shot out in front of it and it looks, you know, but they all look kind of similar. The buildings are always, they're like tallish buildings where the main floor is sunken in, if this makes any sense. Like you have to go under the rest of the building to get to like the lobby, you know? So it's not like there's glass all the way down. It's like the building comes down from the sky and then stops at a certain point above the ground and juts in. And that's, so it's like the whole building is resting on a pedestal. Maybe that's your future building.
Future.
Yeah.
In the year 2000.
And they drive hover cars.
Hover cars.
God damn it. Which can be piloted by remote control.
Yeah. Yeah.
Into your own house if you need.
Yeah. To. On their futuristic smart phone things.
Yeah.
The cordless phone of the future.
Yeah, the cordless phone of the future.
Well, the cordless phone of the, yeah, because we were like, oh, look at the amazing future technology, the cordless phone. And then he turns on the TV and the guy, you can see the guy on the, I'm like, oh, it's a video phone. I get it. The future video phone. Yeah. So at least they had that.
Well, he did have a corded phone, though.
Yeah, but it had a fucking video phone with it. So, I mean, like, what are you going to do? I mean, I appreciated what they were trying to do with the interior of the cockpit. You know, the having the TV screens all over the place, because I don't even think Star Trek had gotten that advanced, right? I mean, aside from the gigantic, you know, view screen that Star Trek had, but this idea that, you know, you have all these multiple view screens all over the place, it was just the stylistic difference that I've noticed, you know, in more modern stuff is that stuff always tends to be gray or black, you know, the metal that it's set into, the racks, units, and all this stuff, where this was like white, like unpainted, unfinished white. And so it just kind of looks like probably closer to like what you'd actually see in like NASA and like a space shuttle kind of.
Like the robots, like they weren't like clean. They were kind of like dirty and grimy and kind of, you know, they had that like.
As opposed to Star Crash, which we watched a couple weeks ago, where they just didn't paint the fucking model at all. God, at least in this, they tried.
Man, yeah. Just, oh, man, Star Crash. You need to see that movie.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
We saw it earlier. Yeah, I've seen it before with these guys. It is a sheer joy. Can't recommend that movie enough. That movie is a man.
Yeah.
You need to see it.
And check out that episode. Still only a couple weeks old at this point.
Yeah, it's that movie is really priceless.
Well, what'd you guys think of, aside from the, okay, so you're saying, I mean, I guess what I'm getting from, well, at least from Nick, you didn't like the slowness of the robots.
No.
What'd you think of the animation? Because they use stop motion animation.
Yeah, it was a weird mix between, you know, of the animation.
Stop motion.
It was like stop motion, and then they went to, you could model, see it was a model, and I don't like to throw it around too much, but it definitely had the 80s stank to it for animation.
Oh, man! See, like, okay, so I'm the king of using the phrase 80s stank.
This is true.
Right. The movie did not have the 80s stank for me.
Whoa, whoa.
Yeah, did not.
Whoa. Didn't feel like it was made in the 80s. Or it was basted with 80 Snake. No?
No.
Nick says it was.
I say it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Get your robot jock. With an X. Just J-O-X.
Jocks.
Yeah.
The end fight sequence of this movie is probably like an hour or 45 minutes long.
No.
What?
No. That's what it felt like.
Okay, it felt like it's an hour or 45 minutes long.
I was like, when is this going to end?
Man, seriously. But it is epic on a scale. There's some dumb stuff. Like, the reason why Achilles went into space.
Yeah, that was totally lost on me.
That was lost on me, actually. Well, I don't know why he went into space.
Like, probably like, we got this awesome, you know, computer generation of space, and let's just throw them in space.
That's not
for
even
10
computer
minutes.
Generated. That's like a photograph. This is back in the days of fucking matte paintings and composite work. Yeah.
Because it made no sense.
What are you talking about? You got a giant robot and it's got rockets on it. At some point, it's got to go to space.
Let's see. What?
I think even in Pacific Rim, which we keep on, keep on tying this back to, there's a fucking time when the fucking robot says, we're going to go into space so we can, like, make the monster, like, suffocate or something like that,
they
right?
They go underwater, man.
No. He goes up because he fucking the big, doesn't get the sword at that point.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right.
You drive a giant robot with a rocket on it. Like, at some point, you're going into the atmosphere.
Yeah, that's because he's trying to freeze them out and choke them out, right?
I saw he's like, hey, I'm going to go into space. I'm like, all right, I get what he's doing. What he's doing is he's leading the guy away from the spectators.
Right.
And he's leading him away from this area.
Right.
So he goes into space.
Yes.
They have a fight in space, which is messed up because
it's a laser fight.
The Russian shoots.
Oh, it's a rocket fight, right?
The Russian shoots a rocket at the American, but when you actually went go back to it, the rocket's being fired from the American mech. It's messed up.
Oh, you were paying closer attention than I was.
Yeah, no, I guess so.
Because the rocket's firing from a white mech rather than a black mech.
I was catching the sun.
So I'm like, what the hell is going on? And then so, like, they're flying, like, literally, like, around the planet. And somehow, like, so, like, he gets hit in the foot and somehow he crashes in the exact same spot that he left.
Yeah, that was kind of weak. I do agree with you on that one. They landed in the battlefield that they left.
Yeah, so it made the whole sequence just pointless.
Yeah.
And it could have cut out that 10, 15 minutes.
I agree with you on that. That space fight was completely useless.
What are you talking... Well, okay, probably. But at the time... Well, okay, never mind. I can't make this argument.
You can't make that argument.
I can't. I was going to do the whole, like, you hadn't seen anything. You got a fucking rocket... Or, sorry, a robot, giant robot. At some point, it's got to go to space. So we did it. Yeah, it doesn't it doesn't contribute anything to the narrative. But I mean, also at this point, this is when we start to see our robots actually transform and there's pieces folding around in them and stuff. And I mean, this had to be, you know, in the time that it was made, you know, because there was no official Transformers movie aside from the Transformers movie, the animated movie that, you know, used that was based on the TV show.
You got the love.
That one. Yeah. So there's that. But I mean, like, this had to be the only time you could actually see robot, you know, like, gigantic scale robots in a movie transforming.
Yeah. They did transform.
Yeah, kind of, sort of.
Sort of.
One of them turned into, like, a tank kind of thing.
Yeah.
He transformed into a tank.
Yeah,
which...
well, you're jaded, dude. You've seen Transformers movies at this point. But imagine what a 12-year-old Tom watching Robot Jocks for the first time.
Well, dude, I'm 38-year-old Tom, and I watched Robot Jocks for the first time.
You've seen the other ones before. That's what I'm saying. You've seen Transformers.
Dude,
the more sophisticated version of this. Pacific Rim. If you were 12 in 1980s or 1990 when this came out. I don't know.
What? I like this movie. I totally dug this movie.
Wow.
What? I liked
that it. That was a surprising admission, like out of nowhere, because it's just talking about the fucking robots.
I'm talking about the robots, man. I liked the robot fights. I thought the robot fights were sweet. I thought the going into space was kind of dumb. It was like, I mean, it was kind of like, okay, so the going into space was the going into space was cool. The fight in space was cool. It's what they did with that, like how they landed back right, in the same spot was kind of dumb. Because like, I'm like, oh man, he's leading them away from the battle. I get what they're doing.
They're going to land on the moon and duke it out up there.
That's what I was hoping for.
They're going to land on the moon.
Changing the battlefield. Yeah. We're going to go to the moon.
They're going to go to Alaska or something cool like that.
Then when they're moving really slow, they'll have a reason to be really slow because they're on the moon.
Right. Just be bouncing around.
Right.
Yeah, but Achilles and Alexander have to have their showdown. So, like, even though the woman has failed completely at her mission, Achilles, like, runs up. I think he uses his hover car to get there.
Yeah.
Because she dopes him up. That's how she gets it. She dopes him up.
Yep.
Because once she is, like, she's going to be the captain of this thing, he's like, no, I can't let her do it because she's going to fail. So I'm going to take the bullet. I'm the hero. I'm going to fucking go, like, re-sign up. Even though I'm in retirement, I'm going to re-sign up. So he is going to do it. She seduces him and then fucking shoots him with a tranquilizer dart, which that man, like, fights through. Yeah. He's, like, doing kung fu and shit after that.
Oh, man, then you think they're going to get it on.
Yeah, but no, he's just... Then she kung fus him some more. And then she dresses up like him and steals his goddamn robot. And so then he actually goes out to help her because he doesn't want her to get killed. And after she's pummeled down by Alexander, and he's like, what? Alexander's like, it's the woman. I don't want to beat the woman. Achilles comes running up and like, Alexander, what is it? That's what he says. Yeah, line. I'm going to get in that thing and I'm going to kick your ass.
Like, really over the top.
But did you believe him? He meant it?
I don't know.
Okay, fine. So
I believe the what?
That was one of the greatest ones. Texas Traitor. What? Oh, man, you have to see it. Or you had to be in the moment. It's a brilliant, brilliant acting by Gary Graham. I don't know why the man didn't like do bigger and better things. Other than the Vulcan ambassador on his
Because everybody track. Saw Robot Jocks. Oh, wait, nobody actually seen Robot Jocks. That's a problem.
Tell me. Somebody saw him. They put him on Alienation for like 15 years. That's not true. So these two guys duke it out in space on Earth, damage their fucking robots all to hell until there's just the two of them on the ground now that the robots have been exploded and one guy is horribly burned and they're like fighting with sticks.
Yeah.
Poles, metal poles.
A metal stick.
Which they're actually fighting, which is awesome. Again, a brilliance on the director. They're fighting lumberly and slowly, much like
they're
robots.
Very tired. And they're wearing a whole lot of gear, which includes a bunch of AV cables plugged into their wrists.
They're fighting very lumberly and slowly, much like the robots. So that fight kind of gets dragged out, and it's pretty epic. I actually dug that. And then it ends in such an awesome way that redeems our Russian.
Which was surprising.
Yeah.
The idea is that the Russian's got a rock and Gary Graham has a fucking pole. And he's like, I can beat your ass right now. But what's the fucking point? The game's over. You know, it's like the victory's been decided. We don't have to kill each other. We can live. And he throws his fucking pole away. And the Russian's like, and Gary Graham's like, bring it, we can live. And the Russian smiles and throws his rock down, and they do a fist bump.
Yeah, because they're...
No, they do the...
they're robot.
Oh, the crash and burn.
Crash and burn! I guess what you take out of this is everybody, the salute is a crash and burn.
Thumbs up.
It's a fist bump. So it's like a fist bump with the thumbs up. And then they fist bump
crash and burn. Crash and burn.
So take that. Take that with your, take that to your friends. Start generating that. You know, walk up to your friends instead of just fist bumping people. fist bump with the thumb up and go crash and burn.
Well, I know we talked about it, but I can't remember if we talked about it on air for posterity so that, you know, our children can look back and hear this podcast. That there was a movie called Crash and Burn that followed this movie from director Charles Band, who was the producer on this movie. And it was called, in some territories, Robot Jocks 2 Crash and Burn. But it actually has nothing to do with Robot Jocks. There it is.
There you go.
Yep.
So I mean, this movie can't be discussed because it's like it's two.
It can't be discussed.
Well, I mean, it's two robots fighting. So it draws parallels with Pacific Rim and draws parallels with Real Steel.
And a game called Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
I mean, come on, this is what we've all wanted forever. Giant robots fighting each other. I mean, it does come back to What came first, Rock'em Sock'em Robots or the Transformers?
Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
I think Nick has got it here. That's like from the 60s.
The 60s, yeah.
Yeah. We've always wanted to see robots fighting.
Well.
Especially giant robots with people inside them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Real Steel, you don't get people in the robots, but.
Yeah, Real Steel's just it's a boxing movie.
That's real Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
Yeah. Or people are going to remember that movie in a while. I guess we're bringing it up, so, I mean, right there. Somebody's going to go, what's this Real Steel movie you're talking about?
Real Steel will probably be forgotten. That it probably should be forgotten, actually.
Ooh, see, I kind of like Real Steel.
You know a movie I've been wanting to see? I've been wanting to see Steel.
With Shaq O'Neal?
Yeah. Yeah,
wait, isn't it a superhero movie?
Yeah, he's like a robot that fights crime.
Yeah,
yeah, called Steel.
Oh, I thought maybe he was okay. Not a giant robot with Shaq O'Neal inside him.
No,
imagine that movie.
He's kind of like RoboCop, but Shaq.
Oh, yeah. Said he's called Steel. I don't know about that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we have anything left to cover on? I mean, aside from the special effects by David Allen. We did, I think, stuff on Ghostbusters 2 and Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, and then did a whole lot of fucking Full Moon movies. A lot of, you know, Stuart Gordon movies and stuff like that. Dolls, Puppet Master, that's all his work. Laser Blast, anybody seen that? Crater Lake Monster from the way back days. Hmm. Yeah, he kind of worked himself up to a point and then worked himself down. I mean, in stop motion animation, there's like, as far as like names that you recognize if you're a connoisseur of this kind of thing, there's Ray Harryhausen. Mm-hmm. And then probably, I mean, several rungs below this, but then there's like, you know, David Allen, right? Who did the fucking Terminator? I know there's a Phil Tippett. I mean, there's like the Rancor monster and stuff like that in Star Wars, and there's the dragon and Dragon Slayer. But they're like this go motion thing where it's like a motion controlled, computer assisted stop motion animation. But this is like old school, like, hey, we don't have a budget for that kind of stuff. And it's just a guy with, I mean, the robots are suspended by wires, which now that, you know, we've got this movie on high definition, you can clearly see that, like, you know, they're doing the stop motion shit, but the robot's being held up by suspension cables so it doesn't tip over. Probably couldn't see that originally. Maybe you could. I don't know. The old days.
I do have a little bit of trivia and I've seen the scene tonight that they took it from. Trent Reznor, the lead on Nine Inch Nails, was a big fan of this movie, and he sampled. When he fell into the crowd of people and they're screaming, he used that for the bed of a song called The Becoming.
Yeah?
Yeah. And so basically it's him doing his techno beat stuff to the screaming of the people and all that is on the bed of that song. So.
Huh. And Tom is like the world's biggest Nine Inch Nails fan, so he should at least know what song this is and where it is. I'm not going to play it, are you?
No.
Don't play.
I could.
Then we'll get sued for copyright. We can't do that.
Nah.
All right. So, do you smell that? Do you smell something?
Oh, shit. Is that... Oh, is that Igor?
It is. Oh, Jesus Christ, Igor. Damn. It's you again.
Masters, the mail. I've got the mail. So many letters. Our followers are rising.
All right, and there's mailbag from Igor. Thanks a lot, Igor. Now you may leave. Let's check and see what we got. You can also get a hold of us on Facebook.com/Saturday Night Freak Show, by email at SaturdayNightFreakShow@yahoo.com, or on Twitter at @SatFreakShow. First of all, tonight we've got Jacob Kotner. He writes in Facebook, I listen to you guys all day. Really?
Wow.
Really, Jacob?
You must be catching up.
I think I've heard almost every episode now. Wow. We're popular somewhere. I think I've heard, keep up the good work. And if you need a request, I would love to hear your thoughts on the 1996 The Island of Dr. Moreau. See, that's not a bad suggestion.
That's a Saturday Night Freak Show movie.
That is a Saturday Night Freak Show movie.
When you think of Saturday Night Freak Show, that's one of the movies you would watch.
That's right. Okay. We almost had. let's see here. Also, sorry. Got to find another one. And, oh, good Lord.
Get your shit together, Igor.
I got to go to Twitter. Here we go. I should have this printed out. G-Money on Twitter. Oh, there it was, and then I lost it.
Uh-oh.
G-Money says, of the Fly 2 episode, he loved the pick. It's one of his favorites. They just made a comic, Fly Outbreak, which is a direct sequel in which Marty is studying Bartok. Interesting. And his name is Marty, which we said was ironic because Eric Stoltz played Marty originally in Back to the Future.
Getting cut out.
Fired.
Yep.
All right. And then there's somebody else wanted to say something?
Last week you watched Con Air.
We did, actually. We did watch
Con Air, unfortunately. That movie is a really good movie. It's an amazing movie. I agree wholeheartedly with Jenny. That movie is phenomenal. It is great. It's like it's up there with The Rock and Face Off in that echelon of movies. Nick Cage is one of my guilty pleasure actors. He's just like that bad in a good way. Like, I'll go out of my way to see bad Nick Cage movies because I just like seeing his just insanity in motion. I love it.
I could be nailing nails in my head, too.
I love it, man. And that movie's just like action. I mean, I to say, like, I've recently watched that movie, too. Went out of my way to watch that movie on my own free time.
Jesus Christ.
So it's not like I remember it back from like 10 years ago. No,
We could excuse what you're saying now. It's recent. You realize that you're talking to the two guys. Never mind. Okay.
Unfortunately, I watched it recently, too.
Yeah, I watched it last week.
And it's awesome.
Awful. All right, so final wrap-ups on the movie we watched tonight, Robot Jocks. Wow. I guess that comes down to me. Because, unfortunately, Travis was not able to join us. He was called away? Are we saying called away? He couldn't be here. So,
yeah, I'm sure it was his pick, so he probably loved it, obviously.
I'm going to assume, right? So that means Nick is going to wrap this up, the final wrap-up. I'm going to go first, then Tom, then Nick. I think that Travis was enjoying himself as he watched it. he bought it, and he said he saw it when he was a kid, and that he hadn't watched it in a number of years and was looking forward to seeing it again this evening. And it seemed like he was having a good time while watching it. So
seemed like it.
So this is the first time that I've seen this since 1990. I remember seeing it on VHS. I remember seeing it, but I don't remember the movie at all. Whole thing just went away. I knew there was giant robots, and I remember it being kind of, I guess, you know, whatever, the younger me wanted more robot fighting. The older me watching it now, it's like, this is a movie that I would still define as like, robot, huh? Oh, whose wrap-up is this? So I would say that this is a movie that has ambition that outstrips its budget. I think there are two giant robot fights because probably they couldn't do anything more. You know, actually, no, I think that was I think that was probably deliberate. You know, they were going to have a fight in the beginning and we're going to have a big fight at the end. And I think, though, for the time and maybe even now, I mean, if you're a connoisseur of the giant robot movie, I mean, you've got like, what, three or four that you can look at? Three? Two? There's maybe this in Pacific Rim. What else we have? Giant robots.
Transformers.
God damn it, Nick. Okay, fine.
Oh, come on, man.
Giant robots?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You're right. You got me.
Yeah, but see.
Giant piloted robots, Nick.
Yeah, see, we're going for the, actually.
The mech warrior. Does the Power Rangers movie count?
Damn it. We're going for mechs.
Nick's just shooting them down. Shooting them down. Okay, all right. So the mech movie, there's three things in popular culture then. Until somebody on Facebook.com/Saturday Night Freak Show or Twitter tells us we're wrong. We're going with Pacific Rim, Robot Jocks, Power Rangers.
Power Rangers. Oh.
In popular culture, you also include Mech Warrior, Steel Battalion, the video games.
Well, technically Voltron as well.
All right. So I thought it was... you know, like now, you know, you see Pacific Rim, they work in like five fights. This one says like, hey, we're going to do two fights. We're going to give you one early on because you paid your money to come in and this is what we're going to do. So within 20 minutes is the fight. And then we're going to work our way up to like the next fight. And for the time and the money that the movie had to spend, I think they both deliver, right? I think they both do it. It's models, punching models and shit happening and, you know. It's like they know what they're trying to accomplish and get across here. It's like, you know, we got to deliver on the promise of giant robot fights. So it gives that to you. I just think, yeah, maybe the connective tissue, the plot that leads between the first fight and the second could be stronger or more interesting in some ways, but it's not bad. I mean, I wouldn't call this bad at all. I mean, it's just kind of like, it's not quite like awesome. It's like, you know, it kind of rides the edge into like, you're kind of losing me because you're slow, you know, and being adequate. So I would still think I recommend the movie just because, you know, I don't think there's anything. I mean, if you're looking for, I think like, you know, I even know right now it has like a cult following because it's like, you know, you go back and look at it, it's like, look, here's a movie that had fucking giant robots in it, like punching the shit out of each other. And so I think for that reason, you know, if you're the type of person who's interested in that, then you probably should go and check out Robot Jocks. Just don't expect, the pace of Transformers or Pacific Rim. This is an older movie, you know, it's the forerunner. There you go.
Robot Jocks. This is my first time seeing Robot Jocks. I missed it as a kid. As a kid, I heard about it. Well, actually, like more as a teenager, I heard about it. But I don't know. It always looked cheap and looked crappy, so I kind of always avoided it. Like I was like, man, this looks like it's gonna be terrible. So I watched it, and I was actually pleasantly surprised. The mechs in here are mechs. They are the slow lumbering mechs that I like. I mean, they're like the mech warrior type mechs, and I dig that. I dig that a lot. And I liked the slow pace of the fights. I liked how the mechs moved and fought each other. The mech fights, both two of them, were really, really well done. And I really dug it. The thing is that I didn't like about the movie was I thought the acting was, God, it's just terrible. And the character development wasn't really that well done. Of course, although I say like the character development really wasn't well done, but like I pulled out insights into these characters that everybody else here missed.
I dare you to do that with Transformers Age of Extinction. I dare you.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. I could not do that with Transformers Age of Extinction. So there is more character development here than that. In a lot of ways, this movie is a hell of a lot better than Transformers Age of Extinction, or any of the Transformer movies, for that matter.
Some kid's going to listen to you say that and say you're fucking crazy, you know, just by looking at the two. So you have to explain that.
It's just there's more depth into the characters. They spend a good hour diving into these characters and just slowly, deliberately covering each one of their, you know, steps and diving into these characters.
At the cost of explosions.
At the cost of explosions and stuff like that. So, but, you know, out of mech movies, there's not that many. It's a underutilized genre. And so, you know, like, much like I defend, like, the cyberpunk genre, you know, like, there's not that many cyberpunk movies. There's Blade Runner. I say Johnny Mnemonic. I like Johnny Mnemonic. It's a fucking terrible movie, but it's one of the few cyberpunk movies who's like, I love it. So I like my weird genre movies. So if it's a mech movie, it's a mech movie. And so this falls into that category. So if you want to watch a mech movie, you're going to watch this in Pacific Rim. Is Pacific Rim better? And you're going to get more mech action in Pacific Rim. But Pacific Rim is also done new and done by...
it had like a $150 million budget.
Right.
This was made for $10 million.
Right. So, I mean, you're going to get... In 1987,
so it's like $20 million or whatever.
So, I mean, obviously, yeah, Pacific Rim's a hell of a lot better. But, I mean, for 1987, they did a damn good job, and I highly recommend it.
Two recommends, huh? All right. Well, I don't know if I should talk really slow, because that's how the pace of this movie went. So slow. You know? And I was excited. I'm like, all right, robot jocks. You know, I might have seen it when I was younger, but it must have been so slow back then even where I didn't even remember it. But, you know, I got it. You know, I'm like, all right, we're going to have a Saturday Night Freak Show movie, you know, robots fighting robots. And I got robots slowly touching other robots.
With their fists, Nick. With their fucking flying... Rocket-powered detachable fists.
On strings.
Yeah, we also forgot
about... I seen the strings on that fist.
We also forgot about the
chainsaw penis.
The chainsaw penis. How could I forget about the chainsaw penis?
You're not going to see that in Pacific Rim.
Man. The chainsaw penis.
Yeah, the chainsaw penis. Totally what I found funny about that part is he took the chainsaw penis and put it into the face of the other robot. I'm like, okay, I know what they're trying to go for on this one.
Brilliant. It just went up, you know, again, in my estimation.
But you said, you know, how you would say this one over Transformers and Collins. Like, well, if you ask a kid, I have two younger boys. And if I sat down and showed them this movie, they'd be like, what the fuck is this movie, you know? They'd be like, let's watch Transformers 100 times over. For me, this movie's dated. It's very slow. The whole middle of the movie could have been gone for all I care, for all, you know, where he's like, oh, you know, I want to quit, and oh, I'm coming back. I'm like, it's all pointless. You know, the whole middle of this movie, you know, when there's not, they're slow moving robots, it's just slow. You know, the stupid semi love story between him and the tube lady, you know, you don't know whether, you know, they're into each other or not into each other. And
they never do actually end up at the end.
No.
She gets carried off the battlefield and that's it.
Yeah.
Never see her again.
Yeah.
And the other guy puts his chainsaw penis into his face.
Yep.
Interesting.
Very interesting. You know, and, you know, even when they got out of the robots at the very end and, you know, they had the bros moment and stuff like that, I was like, and then that's the way the movie ended. I was happy to see the movie end because it was just too slow. And, you know, I'm sitting down here in a nice, cozy basement. I've sat through Sharknado. I've sat through Hell Comes to Frogtown. And never once have I been like, oh, God, is this movie over with?
Oh, no, this is the one, huh? Hey, how many movies? Okay, so you've seen a bunch on The Freak Show. Mm-hmm. How many of those have you liked? I think you went through this at one point. You're like, I passed on that one. I passed on that one.
I think I gave a okay for Days of Thunder, maybe.
Oh, boy.
But I would say if this movie's on TV, I don't even think I've ever seen this movie come up on a lineup for TV. You know, you get a Sunday, you know, to waste, maybe watch it, but I would personally pass on the movie.
All right. Well, that's three people on the Saturday Night Freak Show. It's two ups and one down. Thumbs, maybe. next week, it's my pick. We're going to be watching the Lucio Fulci zombie classic, Zombie, on the Saturday Night Freak Show. So bring your popcorn and your barf bags. Brains. And until then, the basement is going dark.
Crash and burn!